Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 801 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live from the heart of New York City, here in Manhattan. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined by Ben Funky Askren. And this guy, fashion icon, Nebraska Kearney Loper, James Dean Rader. And he's not holding anything back for Final X New York, and either am I, either are we. And before we get into Final X New York, we had Final X Stillwater. And honestly, this Final X Stillwater prompted a major change, I think, that's going to happen with FRL.
Uh-oh. What's the change?
We talked about it.
Oh.
We got to get this thing on Monday. At some point, I don't know when, we got to figure it out. I haven't even told Tyler this, who's listening. But at some point, we got to make this a Monday show. I can't wait another day.
In that case, Christian, we should have Saturday because that event was Friday.
You know what? We should have FRL every day. Is honestly where I'm angling towards. But start with Monday. So the reason it's not on Monday currently is because back in the day when your boy was on the road every weekend, I was just like traveling every Monday. But now, not gone as much. So I think we should do it. I think we got to do it. So because Final X Stillwater was a take-a-palooza. So much happened.
Take-a-palooza.
Five matches went to a third and final decisive match. And the thing I can't stop thinking about, the thing I can't stop talking about, is Seth Gross beat Dayton Fix.
Yeah.
That is wild. That is not something we were remotely entertaining. That's not something anyone was remotely entertaining going into this. Yes. Someone who calls in on Wednesdays, I'm not going to give his name, said that Seth Gross had no chance whatsoever. And he
should probably get tased.
That would be quite a spark if that but anyway, I really want to talk about that. But Ben, why don't
let's talk about that.
We will right now. Ben, I want your thoughts.
I think there's a lot of thoughts to go around there. Yeah, I mean, I think we were justified in being very surprised by it. I think, Christian, you actually said he had a chance because Seth Gross was good when he gets to focus on one person or something to that effect. But, you know, I did write it off. Number one, obviously our match last year was completely lopsided, wasn't close. Number two, Seth was down 12-3 against Jesse Mendez just a couple weeks ago. Mendez didn't even win U20s, for God's sakes. And we're going to talk about that, I'm sure. And so just for all those factors, I just didn't think it was going to be close. I thought Seth wrestled a really interesting style. I think he went down 5-0 every match.
He was down every match, not 5-0, significantly. But he was down anywhere from 3 to 5 points.
Yes.
Early every match. He was down.
Every match. Dayton seemed to kind of run out of gas. And I don't want to make excuses, Dayton. But in the second and third match, I thought Dayton had about Seth had about 4 or 5 calls go his way, and then all of the challenges went his way, and especially that last one. Now, here's the thing is, I believe Seth still would have been in the lead 5-5, but on no planet is that a takedown, and I am almost appalled that they called it. It's really funny because there's this really interesting paradox in freestyle wrestling. Where, you know, so the rule is you have to get all the way behind him, right? And so there's some of these situations where guys grind it out and someone's holding on and the refs wait forever to call a takedown. And then there's some of these situations, like the one I'm talking about, where the minute that their hips cross behind, even if they're not gripping them at all, is 2. And it's like, wait, he didn't even have his hands on him. Like, his hand was headed towards the waist. His other hand was not on him. And as Seth was moving behind him, Dayton sits out. So I just was like, I was almost appalled that one was 2.
Yeah, I thought that was definitely a questionable. I mean, basically all my thoughts are on the broadcast, right? And I did not think.
And then the one in the second match, they should have thrown the brick. We should have these clip for highlights. But with Dayton, the way he swivels his feet to stay in bounds was like, holy crap. So Dayton is on his – it's 4-3, Dayton. He's butt to the edge. His knees are down, and he swivels his feet so he does not touch out of bounds. And then he pushes Seth out, but they gave Seth the point to make it 4-4. So obviously, I think Dayton could have wrestled better matches, but there was a few that I was just like, wow, these calls, like, they're kind of rough. Do we have that? Can we bring that one up, you think, or no?
Yeah, we're pulling it right one now. Okay. We're pulling in the scoring highlights. Some of the calls I did think were terrible. So let me start with this before we get into like the nitty gritty of the calls.
Yeah.
One, I thought Seth was going to lose. Two, then I heard Seth Gross couldn't even get to Stillwater. Oh, yeah, this guy was supposed to be there 2 days before. He spends basically a day in the airport. He's cutting weight in the airport. Then he gets here late that night and he's cutting through the night. I'm like, dude, you were already going to lose in my mind. And now you have all this you got to deal with. And yeah. I said, all right, man, I literally felt sorry for Seth. I was like, man, he's not even gonna get it to put on his best show. And even if he could, he would lose.
Yeah.
And
it's in Stillwater.
I didn't even mention that. It's literally in his home gym in Dayton Fix's home gym. So I was like, man, this is just stacking up the wrong way. And by the way, I haven't even mentioned the fact that he beat you 11-0 last time. And it was not remotely
competitive. And I think in the first period, right?
No, second. But it was early. Early termination. So, but the one thing I did say is that Seth did feel him. And he's going to have a plan. Whether it's effective or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, turns out it was really effective. And basically, he said he decided he was just going to pressure the crap out of him.
Yeah.
And test his
guts. This sequence, oh my God, so this that is sequence. That
too. I don't know if this is our best.
But can we go back just like 3 seconds, Tyler? This sequence, the back and forth scrambling was so awesome by both guys. Oh, one more set, couple more seconds. Oh man. Sorry, Tyler. So Dayton time, freeze right here. Dayton gets to the crotch and he's in a really outstanding position. Seth hips over, puts him in danger. Dayton hips back up and then swims back in. Like that, like three sequence thing was awesome. Both guys, great job. Uh oh.
Now, this is not the.
I actually thought, is this one that I thought was a takedown on the edge? There's one that they only gave Dayton a push out. I don't know if
showing the video, Tyler's like, guess is better.
Yeah, this is not the sequence, but there's the one in the beginning of the second match that I thought was for sure a takedown. Dayton had both legs and head outside, and Seth was on his butt. I was kind of surprised they didn't call that one a takedown also. Are you hearing me, guys?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, cool. We should have the video clipped a little better. I was, is it that one?
So I don't think anybody.
Yeah, that one was 5-0 right there.
Dayton didn't wrestle as well this weekend as he did 2021 World Team Trials and Championships. Was that the outlier performance a year ago for Dayton? Or was this the outlier performance? And the next time he gets on the mat, he returns to that form.
What I would say is the outlier. Look, it's much more likely that Stillwater was the outlier because, I mean, he went basically two tournaments where he looked like that. It's just a lot of data points compared to, this is three matches in a span of a couple hours. Yeah. That's my thought.
So if we're going to talk about more things, more takes on this match, I think this, one of the things I talk about a lot is toolboxes and how many tools you have. I think two of the tools that are highly useful against Seth Gross, Dayton Fix doesn't have, right? So number one, when Seth keeps diving in from the outside, having a good down block go behind and or re-attack, and Dayton is so reliant on his, scramble defense, which is generally really good, but, Seth didn't really try to finish. He was just trying to kind of push out on most of them, which is obviously a good tactic. And then number two, shooting from space, so when Seth would get a more upright stance and kind of push in, and that was where we saw Mendez, right, took advantage. Mendez was really quick and was able to fire some doubles from the outside and scored a bunch of points on Seth Gross like that. And Dayton just doesn't have either of those things in his arsenal, so that was kind of, obviously made it harder for him, a lot harder.
Yeah. The other thing to discuss are the real confusion caused by the grounded calls throughout this.
Oh, this has been so, I feel like we've beaten this like a dead
get
horse.
Get rid of it.
We haven't even talked about it. I mean, have
no,
we?
No, over the course of the last, it's been, how long has it been a thing? It's been a thing for so many years.
It very likely just cost someone a world team spot because of the interpretation that was applied, which it was an application, I would say, is unique to Final X Stillwater and nowhere else in the world.
Wait, so which part is, so here's how I think about it. I'll just give you my take. My take is, you don't know what the hell is going to happen. So when you're playing this game and you're on your knees, like, you can't really be mad at any call because any call could absolutely happen. There's maybe some that are a little more obvious, but kind of in all scenarios, I'm like, it could go either way. Like, we shouldn't be.
All you can go by is what is written. The written rule is if there's a knee on the ground, you're grounded.
But we know not how it's called. We know, you absolutely know, is not called.
I don't
called
know that.
Like
that.
I know that. I watch enough wrestling, Christian. You're lying because you watch enough wrestling. You know it is not called like
how
that.
How many times have we said they could call grounded here? They could call one here, like on a call.
It's going to go either way. Christian, how many times have you seen someone on their knee give up a point? And the answer is hundreds, probably.
Hundred.
From front head, I've even seen caution one plus caution in one from front head.
I actually like that application.
I think. What I'll say is this: Dayton Fix is someone who has utilized the grounded rule to his advantage for years, and we have, actually I sent it to Tyler. I don't know if he can even pull it in, but we have a grounded
Fix
scoring compilation and just how he's been able to use
Thomas
it.
Gillings,
and this is not just Dayton Fix compilation. It is it's international wrestling. We have like Asians in there. We have a variety of matches.
I mean, we know it's ridiculous. Yeah, this match was a lot of ground. It's a ridiculous rule, which causes really bad calls kind of consistently. And that's why I'm saying, like, it's hard to be surprised about any of it because it's a crapshoot. If you're trying to do that on the edge, it's like flipping a coin. So kind of, I almost think of it as whatever. Like the one that I got upset about are the three that I would say would, number one, the one where Dayton clearly doesn't go out of bounds and they call the push out, which Dayton's corner didn't challenge, which was dumb, right?
Well, no.
They didn't challenge that one.
I know that. But here's why. He was winning 4-4. You don't challenge yourself out of the lead.
I understand.
Right? So,
but I thought it was pretty evident that he didn't even go out. If they would have watched it, they would have realized he didn't go out. Right?
I agree.
Yeah. So was that the one right there? Hold on. I think this is the one coming up. Okay, watch
it. No, it's when it's 4-3.
This one's 4-3 right now. Yeah, right there. He pivots. That's the one right there. Go back. Give one. He doesn't go out of bounds. Tyler, can we do that one again? Watch this one. He pivots. No, before that. All right, please, keep pause. And then. Okay, sorry. Can we do slow motion? We need slow motion. Okay, it's coming up right here. So watch. He's going to pivot his knees and never go out of bounds. It's crazy how he did it. Pivots right there. He never went out of bounds and they called a push out there. Like, that one was really bad because he didn't actually go out. Now, if he actually went out, he probably was grounded, but I would, they call it whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have another angle. You guys had another angle on the broadcast, which is like from the side,
to the left
side to their left. And it was like, holy crap. He actually didn't go out at all. It was wild.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, Ben, I get it. I get, as an athlete and a competitor, like, that's got to be your mentality and approach to grounding.
Watch this one. Boom. Oh, my God. How did he not go out? It was wild. That one right there. Watch that one again. He doesn't touch out. It's freaking crazy. Oh, never mind. Here's another one.
Right there. Yep.
Boom. Oh, my God. How did he do that? That was some wizard stuff.
Yeah. You're a wizard, Dayton. So,
and they gave one red on that.
Yep. Yeah. So,
Matt official went grounded.
Yeah, the Matt official went grounded. That was a wild ride, a lot of it. And I think, as an athlete and competitor, I get your mentality, Ben. Like, you gotta, and that's probably how you think about a lot of things. But I'm just thinking, as someone that is trying to make people a fan of this sport, and there's a lot of obstacles that I think we put in our way, and having needlessly confusing rules is really frustrating to me. And simple fix.
Guys, can I clarify? I'm all in favor of getting rid of it completely and fully. I'm saying, at this point, we've been through this many years of it where it can go like one way or the other, coin flip. I'm not surprised by any of the calls on the edges. I'm genuinely not, right? So,
but you know what? The other thing I'll say, here's my thought.
Okay.
Here's what it was. To me, what stuck out is when they were giving points for what I thought was grounded. Okay. That's how I see it. I would say 95% of the time called. And if you look at this compilation, it's pretty much that way. They're calling almost everything grounded for all this international, if you're watching, which is why the points for Seth did confuse me and surprise me. So while I know it has been inconsistently called, I'm saying it skews toward me being frustrated that guys are just
saying it only happens in America, or is that what that they're calling significantly more in America?
I'm saying
in Stillwater.
I'm saying it is pretty unique to Final X Stillwater to call that many step outs from a guy that's on an E. And if you can produce anyone, show me Fargo, show me
Abrams. I don't have time to put a clip together for you, Christian, but I feel like
this is a challenge to America. I'm challenging America.
Someone do the work for me, because I really genuinely feel like there are so many.
Kozak did the work with this whole compilation. He's looking at Asians. He's looking at U.S. Open. He's looking at there's not a lot of examples of guys on knees giving up a point.
Really? Someone do the work. I don't have time to do that, but I feel like,
moving forward now, Ben, I want you to have that in the back of your mind. And when it happens, because you watch a lot of wrestling, I watch a lot of wrestling. Yeah. When we see it, see something, say something. Let's have it that. And I don't want to belabor the point too much. And I really, it's not even about Seth versus Dayton. It's more about, it's really important.
Consistency of calls. But really, the best thing is just get freaking rid of it. If we're neutral, because then you would also probably just do away with 90% of the nonsense, because the main reason they go to their knees is to try to be grounded. If there was no grounded thing, no one would ever go to their knees, because it's not an advantageous wrestling position.
Yes, I know.
It's so ridiculous, because it's not like you can stop them from pushing you out, but you can potentially game the rules, right? So anytime the rule encourages you to do the thing that's probably worse for wrestling is really dumb. So, if they just got rid of it, I think it would solve. If you are not in parterre, if a takedown has not been given or awarded, then it's won. This is easy.
I'd be all for that. I'd be all for it. I think, and I'll be honest, I don't like how Dayton uses grounded. I don't think it's cool, but he knows the rules.
Yeah.
And that's how he crafts. I don't think he crafts a style around it, but he knows if he's getting moved, he can drop down to his knees. And a lot of guys utilize that. I mean, David Taylor used it professionally against Hassan Yazdani. Watch that Olympic final.
Yeah.
You know how many times David was down, drops to his knees after the pressure for Yazdani? He did it the entire match, Ben. They didn't call any once at any point. So that is how it is supposed to be called currently right now. If you are grounded, if you are on your knee, you cannot give up a step out point. That is just the rule as it's written and as it's typically interpreted, and it wasn't in Stillwater. And I'm not gonna say it cost Dayton the match, but
Is there any way we can watch that last takedown? There's two that I would like to watch: the last takedown and the first takedown, first non-takedown of the second match. Dayton is like a piston and drops him down. And I believe they actually initially called two, and they waved it off and gave a
one. So yes, we can. Tyler,
give me 1 minute.
Yeah. Okay. Even just a picture of those sequences, cause I think those were relevant also.
Yeah. I thought that was a really cool, the first taken out of the third match was really, it's like a kind of sick little flurry there. Right. Isn't that what it was?
No, it was the first takedown of the second match, but it got not called a takedown. It got called as a push-up point.
Well, I'm talking about the one that was called a takedown for Seth.
Which one was that?
Where they're on the edge, out of bounds, and Dayton sort of switches through. I don't know, it's sort of hard to describe, honestly.
Okay, well, we can pull that up, too. I'm blanking on it right now.
I thought we already talked about this literal exact scenario. I thought this is what you were talking about.
This is round three.
This is round three. Okay. Do we have a takedown coming up soon?
Should be.
Oh, not, it, when Seth played the Merkel position. I mean, the other thing, if we're gonna spend the whole show on this match, which I'm fine with because it was there are a lot of takes to your point, and maybe I should save this for after these takedowns, is I can't believe Dayton never switched as the matches went on to try to force a takedown versus just the pushouts, because he could score so many points on top, right? After those first two matches, when he kind of almost gasses out, right, or he loses as it's going on, the third match, he should be like, I'm going to get this dude down because I'm going to gut his ass and get a bigger lead so he can't come back on me. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, okay. So here, it's that one. It's at 6:25 in the file, approximately, Tyler. You go to 6:25.
Winning the match.
In the score. No. Just get in the best of three scoring highlight. Just go to 6:25. On the video file.
I can't see the video file. I need the match time.
Oh, man.
There's like...
Probably see the match time, right, Christian?
Just before that, right?
No.
40 seconds left in match three.
Oh, yeah. On the out of bounds. Okay, that's when we're watching. Yeah, this one's good because this is ridiculous. No, it's right before that. It's right before this. Yeah, this is, it's coming up right here. This one... He passes by him. Hell no. He passes behind him for a split second. The thing is, he's still winning 5-5, even if he doesn't get the takedown. Okay, watch this. He never maintains control for even a split second. Dayton sits out. The second Seth goes behind him, Dayton sits out into it.
Yeah. I thought that was not a great takedown call.
As he goes behind him, like
maybe I don't.
He's not behind him at all. There's no way that's a takedown. This is ridiculous. You guys played it from a different angle and in slow motion. And it was really good. Okay, watch this. Like, he goes behind him, but the second he goes behind him, Dayton starts sitting in the direction. Like, look, there's not even a lock on him or anything.
On the edge versus the center. That wouldn't have been called a takedown in the center.
A takedown. Yeah, not even close. Yeah, he never has a lock on him. His hands are very loose on his hips. I mean, like, no way, not even close. Now Seth's still winning 5-5. If you give him just a 1-point push out there, he's still winning about 5-5. You there? What do you think? They agree? Disagree?
Yeah, I think it's a push out, right?
I was disappointed.
I think so. I think he's up on his feet and then drops in. But man, I just don't think that's two.
Not two.
So, yeah, unfortunately, a lot of, discussion about the calls in the matches. And when the margins are this narrow, hard to say that these, the calls do determine the match. Mm-hmm. Whether they're right calls or not, I guess, is not for me to say. But I do have my opinions on them.
All right. Can we go? Let's.
That was crazy. But honestly, man.
What?
Go ahead.
Oh. I was going to switch gears. That Zane J.O. call against J.O. was so ridiculous. I was annoyed for J.O. that Zane wouldn't put his damn leg down. And I, like six people brought up to me the following day at U20s, the same exact thing. Like, Zane didn't put his leg down. He's the one that should have got penalized. They called him, blew the whistle, put his damn leg down.
I mean, no one should be penalized for that.
No one should have been penalized. Yes.
I mean, the threshold to give a point in a match like that, it's got to be, the bar has to be raised. It has to be egregious. It's got to be, we're trying to pick our best wrestler to make the team. You can't give away a point based on nothing related to wrestling skill. You can't do that. Yeah. It's got to be beyond the pale. And I saw it. Man, the most egregious one, and no one's talking about this one because Benji made the team. Pat Smith, Benji Peak, match two. Well, hold on. You don't even know what I'm about to say.
Oh, I didn't really watch the singlet.
I'm talking about, that was bad that they just let Pat grab the singlet and they said verbal warning. But at the, there's like literally 10 seconds left, maybe 15. And Benji is up by one. And he's actually scored points in this match, unlike most Greco matches. This was the thing that happened. And at the end, after the singlet grab, there's like no time left. And they go caution in two for Pat Smith. thank the Lord, it was not confirmed by the judge or chair, but the whistle was ready to basically declare Pat Smith the winner in this match. It was insane to me. And I said it on the call. I'm like, I'm like literally shook up that we're making calls like this. Literally, I mean, that would have put Pat Smith on the team if that call had been confirmed. And the Matt that official asked wild. For it. He wanted it. He wanted Pat Smith to be named the winner. That's what you're saying. And based on what? Because they said he's like fleeing. Or he was right there engaged in the match. Just so bad. So bad. Honestly, that made the J.O. Zane call not quite as bad. I think in that scenario, what happened and what maybe people aren't remembering about the J.O. Zane scenario was J.O. clubbed the crap out of him maybe 20 seconds before.
I remember that.
He got warned for that.
He got warned for that, yeah.
You could say it's the accumulation of chippiness that caused
him. Yeah, but Zane wouldn't put his damn leg down. The whistle blew.
I know.
Bro, put his leg down. Why are you holding it still?
Yeah, like, man, it's Zane's playing a little game there. He's playing some mind games with him. I think that's, it's fine. It's not nothing. Sorry, I spat a little bit. Little spit. Nothing. It's going to hurt JD.
Yeah, I don't know, man. If someone holds your leg up, you probably should get to slap him.
I mean, he didn't even slap him. He just kind of popped his chest because he wouldn't let his leg down. And the whistle had blown, and he held it. And I thought that was bad. But at the end of it, I mean, it's hard to say. I feel like I feel like Zane was the rightful winner there.
I don't know, rightful winner. I mean, there's probably a pretty good chance he would have won without that call. But you'd still like to see that call not happen and the match materialize as it should have. I was kind of confused by J.O. sending it at the end of match one. That's not really something we've seen out of him kind of ever. It was a 3-3, and he tries that over-under body lock, and I'm like, where'd that come from?
Yeah, honestly, that was him getting to that hold was like, holy crap, but he needed to score there. And so are you saying you thought he would just walk him to the edge and get his point? Are you saying you're just
shocked? Yeah, I was shocked he was trying to execute in that position, because that's not a position we've seen him use. Like, I don't want to say never, because never is a long time, but like highly infrequently.
I've never seen Jordan go upper body in my life.
No, hey, you're kind of crowding JD out of the screen. You're like,
I'm trying to get real close so I can hear.
Oh, is that quiet? Or is it loud? That quiet. Oh, it's loud.
We're in Manhattan. So people are going to be listening to this and not be happy because they can probably hear horns. They're going to be driving and think them.
I actually have not heard any horns, guys. So
I don't. Yeah, I haven't either. It's more loud, large trucks.
Well, I can't really hear them. But anyway, so I think you guys are good.
Okay, cool. I'm kind of eyeballing the comments. No one's like, I can't hear. So that's good. Better than in our. This is kind of New York-y. It's not. In our room, which can barely fit two chairs, so we're going for it. Okay,
two chairs.
So J.O. Zane also win three matches, as we mentioned. And match one was Zane. J.O. got it done, and there's another crazy call here, Ben, in this Zane J.O. one.
But which one? Which call?
The 2-2 that was called.
Oh yeah, what was that? That was what I talked about earlier, where
J.O. Zane for half a second.
Sometimes they wait forever on these takedown calls, and sometimes it's like boom, like the minuscule second it happens, it's called. That was weird. Yes, I agree.
Yeah. So Tyler, that was in match two, and it's 2 minutes and 50 seconds into the file. It's 1:50 left in the second period. 1:50 left in the.
Thank God that that didn't change the outcome of the match, because that was a atrocious call. I mean, yeah, I sometimes it makes me feel like they wait so long on the takedown calls, and then sometimes it's like it's literally before the takedown happens. Like in the Seth situation, I don't actually think there was a takedown. In this situation, I don't think there was a takedown. They were anticipating the takedown to happen, and the second they thought it was going to happen, they went and just threw it up. It was weird.
I mean. But Ben, I don't know that because
you don't know that. You don't know what.
So it this wasn't the call on the mat. The call on the mat was not a takedown.
Correct.
The call on the mat was two for Jordan. That's it.
Yes, but the it actual was, call that happened was two for Zane. Right? The call by the review official was to Zane and then to Jordan.
Yeah, I know. But it's not like a well, I guess my point is.
What is your point?
Yes. And what I'm saying, the call I guess, was is.
Not every ref calls it that way?
What?
Not every ref calls it that way?
Yeah. My point is, like, it wasn't some in the moment quick snap thing. It was like they looked at it and looked at it and looked at it and said, no, this is literally a takedown. So I think, you know, when he sets on his hip, they're saying the second that hip
it's a
touches,
spring grab takedown.
It's the second the hip hits, and there is, yeah. There's no reaction time in freestyle.
Sure, but this is another one where I feel like it sure as hit, but there was not it wasn't a control. He didn't have control of him. Like, yes, that sequence happened for like the most minuscule of time, but it was never a, oh yeah, he's got control of him type of thing. So let's watch. Damn, can we watch it again?
Yeah, Tyler has it. I sent
Sorry,
him
Tyler,
the.
We're making your job
the time
really
stamps.
Hard this morning.
You can pull it in. So.
Hopefully. Yeah, and then no, the counter though was really unique and good by Oliver. He got the, I believe he got the exposure on it, right?
Yeah,
he stood up and bought back into him.
It was slick, but
and I'm actually offended by you, Christian, because you said I think it was this match where he was doing that stand on his head defense, and he said the first time you ever saw it was Yanni, and you need to go ahead and retract that statement. Because you know who did
Jose Faye, Ben Askren here in New York City.
And I think Yanni was watching that match. He was a little pipsqueak.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Probably a 10-year-old or so at that point in time.
There was something different about how he like pat. Like it was, yeah, I don't know.
Yanni was, I mean, so yeah, the difference would be I grabbed the opposite ankle and tripped, and Yanni grabs the same one.
Yeah.
So it is a little different because I'm catching him moving and I trip into him. And Yanni goes down and catches the same one and then pushes back, you know, obviously with his hips, not his upper body, but pushes back and catches him and falls and makes him fall backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, really, it is a little different, but kind of the same concept of using your head to balance as your hand grabs.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll do respect to the funky one. Okay. So. But then again, regardless of the call and the one, it's like it's a separate thing from, you know, the main point, which is that Zane looked a little more prepared, looked like he just had a little better game plan for Jordan. And ultimately, it's a common thing with that we find ourselves asking after Jordan's matches, is like, why doesn't he go sooner? Why does he wait? Why doesn't he, you know, let it rip a little bit more? Now, there's a horn.
Heard that.
So that was kind of what I was thinking throughout, but Zane could reliably get to that single leg pretty effectively, and he was finishing well on Jordan. They could go 3 out of 5, 5 out of 7. I think it's probably just a one match difference. Those two are just so close.
Yes, agreed.
Okay. So congrats, at the end of it, huge congrats to both Zane and Seth for getting wins in to the other guys, basically home gym, certainly Dayton's and Jordan's former home gym. Right? Really impressive. Other relevant notes.
Jaden Nate.
I was surprised that Nate was able to get a win. He said he was going to, and that was I thought Nate looked really good. I was really impressed.
I was impressed. I was also, you know, to me, every time Jaden went, it seems like he scored, but it didn't happen much. He wasn't.
I feel like he really didn't have a sense of urgency, even down in match two late.
Mm-hmm. No,
just kind of conceded it.
I felt that way a little bit, but. He figured it out in match number three, which, you know, good response there. But it as good as Nate Jackson looked, it did have me concerned. I don't think that was And Jaden, I think, conceded it himself. Like, man, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't my best, but, you know, I won. That was my main takeaway, is that
it's going to be in the back of your head, though, in a world.
Absolutely, especially after, you know, his loss to Iran. I was kind of, it was sort of a similar thing. You're like, man, it feels like if he went a little earlier, if he went a little bit more, that guy can't wrestle with him. That he'll beat him. But when it doesn't happen, you don't win. You don't get to win. So,
yeah.
I don't know. He's got a lot of time between now and Serbia, but and not taking anything away from Nate Jackson either.
Yeah, I feel like that's been.
Plan. I thought he looked great, but I don't know. I left thinking not Jaden's best.
Yeah, I think that's the criticism we've had of Jaden forever, right? Is that he just doesn't. Yeah, I mean, kind of like JO when we talked about them both last week, he just doesn't like attack frequently enough.
I don't know what happened.
Well, what happened?
What's up? Are you there, Ben?
I'm here.
We lost you for a sec. You're back now.
You're back. Oh, they're not back. Oh, okay, they are back.
You talk, Ben. If I go, you gotta go.
I'll monologue the rest of the show. Don't worry about it. I guess so. If I had to go somewhere else, so let's talk about Gilman Arujá. I called it. You didn't. Ha ha. Gilman, well, just a little too much. What do you mean? I said he was going to whoop his ass. He whooped his ass. I don't know what to tell you.
I guess no. Ultimately, I picked him to win. So, you know, I was right. I did give maybe a little more credit than I should have to Vito, which, you know, fine. Yeah. That's okay. But
I thought at least one match was going to be close. I thought match one was going to be close, and Thomas was going to take over in match two. Not even that was the case.
Yeah, I thought they were gonna be a little more. And all that said, Vito had some nice moments, but like a nice moment is meaningless against Thomas Gilman's barrage
because Thomas is just
so much.
Man, there. You know what I was more impressed by than anything is Thomas had quite a few sequences. Where I thought Vito put him in trouble and Thomas was able to find his way out. So I think his scrambling has been getting a lot better also. I mean, there was some really like, wow, that was real nice. Like that sequence from both parties, but you know, Thomas was in trouble and ended up giving up no points. So I think there was one even where he ended up getting the takedown where I think his leg was up in the air and he had a scramble and it was just like some really nice sequences from both parties. But Gilman has just gotten a lot better than he was. I think that's where we need to put it.
Yeah, and I think that match just shows how limited Thomas was by the injury. Well, I don't know if it necessarily shows that, but the injury was way more of a factor. And he alluded to this after he won. He's like, you know, Vito said that he was really close with me. He's like, I had a broken foot, man. It's like,
yeah,
that, no disrespect, but I'm a different guy when I'm healthy. And James Green had a tweet, which I thought was interesting. He's like, Gilman's one of those dudes where he's going to be the guy until he doesn't want to be anymore. Like, it's just,
wow. He's
on that kind of a level. And
James Green's writing Spencer Lee off.
I know that.
And you know what? It's like, for Thomas, he's always having to hear about these names that are not there.
Yeah.
Nick Soriano, and he alluded to this, like, he thanked Vito for coming and like being one to, there's a lot of, he's basically was like, there's a lot of people that talk about other wrestlers, but he actually shows up to matches. And I think if you're for Gilman, you know, now he's a world champion, Olympic bronze, and maybe it doesn't bug him, but it's always these hypotheticals. I mean, Spencer Lee, you hear about it, and everyone knows why Spencer is not wrestling right now. But even like 2018, 2019, you know, he wasn't in the mix, right, Spencer?
Yeah.
Soriano wasn't in the mix most of the time. He basically only entered. So I think he is kind of like all this talk. I'm entering these tournaments every single time. And, you know, this, it's me, right? And that.
Yeah.
While Spencer's going to have his say at some point, we think, we hope. it does feel like Gilman till proven otherwise.
No, I agree. I think I think it'll be interesting when Spencer comes back. But yeah, I think it's Gilman. And I think even if, you know, the rumors were that Spencer was getting better of him in the Iowa room, even if that were the case, Gilman has gotten so much better now in the last, say, 18 months. I'm not sure that it matters that Spencer is getting better. If that's true, I don't know. I was in the room. If that was true, I don't think it matters anymore.
Yeah. Someone was telling me it. No, I'm not even going to say it. Not even going to say it.
No, don't do that on radio. You got to say it.
Okay. All right. Here's what it was. Basically, the Gilman is actually not that much better than he was. And point to who he's beaten that's elite. That was the point.
No.
That was me.
Are we discounting the world championships in the Olympics or what?
That's what this person was basically.
This person doesn't count the Olympics?
He said, who did he beat at the Olympics? He's like, he almost beat a Goyev, but beat Uzbekistan. Gas from a weight cut.
Dudes were really good. I obviously had to pull the bracket up. I don't remember the names. Both those dudes that he beat were really good.
He beat the Iranian who was scared of him.
And he kind of beat him up a little bit too.
Killed him.
And when it wasn't competitive. And a Gilman in 2019 is just not, he's not doing that.
No.
He's not, period.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It was just a theory thrown
bad
out there.
Take.
I'm not saying I
might be jealous,
but it was something that was told to me. I think he looks great. I think he looks like he's going to win another world title.
Especially with no Russia there. Who's going to beat him?
India. Ravi Kumar.
Oh, man. We got communist JD in the background now.
No, I'm communist. You're asking who could. That's going to be a great match.
Yeah.
Ravi Kumar. I say,
and Ravi can endure the the pace, I think.
Oh, Gilman's going to gas him out.
The Indians, they go hard.
Cutting too much weight. Gilman's going to gas him. Uh-oh, I lose you guys again.
I hope so.
Sometimes I click over I was clicking over the international rankings this time, and then you guys are quiet for a second. I'm like, oh, did I lose him? Uh-oh, now he's muted. I can't hear him. Mute yourself, Christian. I can't hear you.
CP, leave the call. Then take over.
I had to secretly tell JD something.
Oh, dang it. Secrets. How rude. Okay, let me see where I'm going to see where Ravi Kumar is ranked. Ravi Kumar, number 3. And then there's 4 Russians in the top 6. That's it. Yeah, these guys got no chance. Gilman's probably going to win the world title. Are they done? They're staring at me. Do they want me to talk more or what?
Keep going, Ben.
Okay. Right,
I'll keep going.
Oh,
he's back.
Ben, can you
hear me? Semi.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm here. Why don't we
I thought this was
a recap final act. I think tomorrow we can have a more substantive show.
Okay.
Hopefully at the arena. I think that would be better.
Yeah. Hey, I like this one question.
We at least got our takes
it's really
off.
Funny. It's a really funny question. We didn't even talk about U20s. I'll just cut.
We're going to go.
Cut their show. Call. I'm going to talk about U20s the whole time.
10 o'clock a.m.
No, Eastern just cut Standard them off, time. Tyler. U20s is so much fun. These guys don't want to talk about it.
And Ben, I don't even
can
know
he not hear me?
Hearing this. This could just, the show.
Can he not hear me right now, Tyler?
Ben, keep going. I'm kicking them out. You can keep going.
Oh, by myself. Christian Piles, he's not going to be able to handle this. Dang, you know what? So Christian got frustrated because we couldn't be on. So Christian can listen to this. I thought the Mallory Velty and Forrest Molinari matches were awesome. Mallory killed her matches 1 and 3, and then obviously in match 2, Molinari was able to get a win there. That sequence was that series of matches was a lot of fun. We didn't even talk about the U20s. So much fun there. I do feel like Tyler. I feel like I should just I should end it, and I should let Christian and JD have their say also. So
yeah, we should probably end it. You can go ahead and cut.
Guys, I'm sorry that their feed wasn't working that good from New York City. I promise tomorrow will be better. And I promise we'll talk about the U20s in addition to Final X New York City, as well as the matches we did not talk about from Final X to Water. And there was one funny question. I'm going to leave us on a funny question because I thought this was hilarious because someone did send me a little snapshot of Ferrari talking. They're cutting it, though. Wicked Scepter says, is Mr. Fast Switch auditioning for a role in the prequel to Eastbound and Down? From his interview on Flow, I think he could play a pretty convincing young Kenny Powers. And that's a hilarious question. I actually loved Eastbound and Down. I was Kenny Powers for Halloween, maybe 2011. I was living in Tempe at the time. So 2010, 2011, somewhere in there, I was Kenny Powers. Maybe 2009 even. That was funny.
You need to dig up that photo.
Oh man, I should try. I'm not good at photos. My wife maybe has the photo, so I will see if I can find me as Kenny Powers. I did the kind of mullet gimmick there, 2009 maybe. We'll go with that. So guys, have a good day. We'll be better tomorrow. Better feed and everything. Peace.